Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive with us. This time, we're going way back to 1972, to Willow Creek, Louisiana, a small town with a big mystery, and we're going to break down what makes this one so creepy, right?
Yeah, this one's got it all.
We've got a seemingly perfect small town, a beloved police officer, and then people start disappearing.
Right, and that's where things get really interesting.
Exactly. So to get into this, we've got a really unique set of sources for this deep dive. We've got a firsthand account from a rookie officer who witnessed some truly unsettling stuff.
And then on top of that, we've got a bunch of analysis and theories that have popped up online over the years. It's kind of become this internet legend.
Yeah, like a modern day folklore almost. So strap yourselves in because we're about to go deep into the strange world of Officer Samuel Doyle and the mystery of what really happened in Willow Creek.
So let's start with the setting, right? Willow Creek, Louisiana, 1972. Picture a classic small town. Everyone knows everyone. Life moves at a slower pace.
Yeah, the kind of place where you leave your doors unlocked at night.
And right at the heart of it all is Officer Samuel Doyle.
The friendly neighborhood cop. Everyone loved this guy. I mean, from what we've read, he was like the town mascot almost.
Absolutely. Baked cookies for the church bake sales, helped old ladies cross the street. I mean, you name it, he did it.
Sounds like the perfect small town cop, doesn't he? So how does this guy end up at the center of a creepy mystery?
Well, that's where things start to get a little murky. Enter Eli Carter. He's a rookie officer just transferred to Willow Creek, fresh out of the academy, eager to prove himself.
The new guy in town? I bet he was excited to work with Officer Friendly, learn the ropes from the best, right?
Right, but almost immediately, Eli starts noticing some, well, inconsistencies in Doyle's work, things that just didn't quite add up.
Inconsistencies? Like what? Give me an example. What would a rookie cop notice that everyone else seemed to overlook?
For starters, there was the whole paperwork thing. Doyle hated paperwork. I mean, despised it.
Oh, come on. Every cop hates paperwork. It's practically a job requirement.
Sure, sure. But with Doyle, it was different. He'd often just skip it entirely, especially after an arrest.
Really? Just wouldn't file any reports? Wouldn't that raise eyebrows with the higher-ups?
You'd think so, but somehow Doyle managed to avoid any real scrutiny. He'd joke about it, say paperwork was for cops who couldn't handle real police work.
Oh, wow. And everyone just went along with it. I mean, even in a small town, there's got to be some oversight, right?
Apparently not. And here's the thing. Along with the missing paperwork, some of the people Doyle arrested, they just vanished.
Vanished? Wait, hold on. Are we talking like gone without a trace?
Gone. No explanation. Poof.
Whoa. Okay, yeah, that's definitely not normal. Especially in a small town like Willow Creek. People would notice. Someone would have said something.
And they did. Rumors started swirling, whispers of strange happenings. Eli, being the new guy, he couldn't shake this feeling that something wasn't right.
Yeah, I bet. It's like the rookie cop walks into this town and suddenly people are vanishing and the star officer isn't filing any paperwork. Talk about a weird welcome.
Right, it's like stepping into a Twilight Zone episode. So Eli, he starts paying closer attention to Doyle. He's got this nagging suspicion that's growing stronger every day.
Okay, so Eli's on the case now. What does he do? Did he go to his superiors, try to report this?
Well, remember, it's small town. Doyle is practically a legend. Who's going to believe the rookie over the town hero? So Eli decides to take matters into his own hands.
Oh, this is getting good. So what did he do? Did he try to tail Doyle or something?
That's exactly what he did. One night, Doyle makes an arrest, a DUI, pretty routine stuff. But instead of heading back to the station, Doyle takes a detour. Straight into the woods.
The woods? Wait, why would he take a DUI suspect into the woods? That doesn't make any sense.
Right. And that's where things take a seriously creepy turn.
Eli's following him, right?
Yeah, Eli's tailing him, heart pounded, not sure what to expect. And they end up at this old, rundown cabin deep in the woods. It's like something out of a horror movie.
A cabin in the woods? Okay, now I'm really creeped out. What was inside this cabin?
Well, according to Eli's account, the cabin was practically empty. Except for one thing, rows and rows of jars.
Jars? Like glass jars? What kind of jars?
He doesn't specify. Just says they were all neatly lined up, each one with a name tag on it.
Name tags? Oh man, that sends chills down my spine. Okay, hold on. So we've got a friendly cop who hates paperwork, people disappearing, a creepy cabin in the woods, and now jars with names on them. This is getting seriously weird. What happened next? What did Doyle do with the guy he arrested?
Well, Eli's watching all this unfold from outside, right? Hiding in the shadows. And he sees Doyle take the guy from the DUI arrest and, well, he shoves him into one of the empty jars.
Shoves him into a jar? You mean like a living person?
As far as we know, yes.
And then what? Did he seal the jar?
Yep, sealed it tight.
Okay, now I have to ask, what was in all the other jars?
That's the billion-dollar question, and unfortunately, Eli's account doesn't give us any of these specifics. He just describes them as, and I quote, pure horror.
Pure horror. What does that even mean? Well, it could be so horrifying that he couldn't even describe it.
We don't know. That's what makes this whole thing so creepy. It's like, whatever was in those jars, it was beyond words, beyond comprehension.
Man, that's just Unsettling, pure horror. That's a pretty intense description. Did Eli ever say anything else about what he saw in that cabin? Did he ever, elaborate on the jars?
Nope, that's all we get. Pure horror. It's like he saw something that just broke his brain a little bit, you know?
I can only imagine. I mean, finding a secret cabin in the woods is one thing, but then seeing your fellow officer shoving people into jars, that's nightmare fuel.
Right. So what would you do in that situation?
I honestly don't know. I mean, part of me wants to say I'd confront Doyle right there, try to stop him, but the other part of me knows I'd probably be running for my life.
I think most people would choose the running for my life option in that scenario.
Yeah, probably a good call. So Eli books it out of the woods, right? Back to town.
Yep, straight to the police station. He tells the other officers everything. The missing paperwork, the disappearances, the cabin, the jars, the whole nine yards.
Okay, so finally someone knows the truth. Someone's going to put a stop to this madness.
Well, that's what you'd expect, right? But remember, this is Willow Creek. Officer Doyle is practically a saint in this town.
Oh, right. Everyone loves him. They probably thought Eli was making the whole thing up.
That's exactly what happened. Some of the officers just flat out didn't believe him. They thought he was exaggerating, maybe having some kind of rookie breakdown.
Seriously, even with the missing people, the lack of paperwork, come on.
It's hard to accept that someone you trust, someone you admire, could be capable of something so monstrous. It's easier to dismiss the evidence to find another explanation.
So what happened? Did anyone believe Eli?
There were a few officers who were willing to at least hear him out. Maybe they saw the fear in his eyes, or maybe they had their own suspicions about Doyle that they'd been pushing down. Whatever the reason, they agreed to go back to the cabin with Eli.
To confront Doyle, to see for themselves.
Exactly. So they all head back into the woods, armed and ready for anything. But when they get to the cabin, it's empty.
Doyle's gone, just like that.
Vanished. No sign of him, no sign of the DUI suspect, and most disturbingly, no sign of the jars.
Wait, what? The jars were gone too. What, did he take them with him? How do you even move that many jars without someone noticing?
That's another one of the big mysteries of this case. It's like Doyle and his creepy collection just disappeared into thin air.
Okay, so we've got a missing cop, missing people, missing jars full of who knows what, and a whole lot of unanswered questions. What happened next? Did the investigation continue?
Well, the police did what they could. They searched the area, questioned people, tried to piece together a timeline, but it was like chasing a ghost. Doyle had completely vanished, and it seemed like he'd taken his secrets with him.
And what about Eli? What happened to him after all this?
Well, can you imagine being in his shoes? You witness something horrific, you try to do the right thing, and nobody believes you.
Talk about a traumatic experience.
Yeah, it pretty much destroyed his career in law enforcement. He ended up leaving Willow Creek shortly after the incident, and from what we can gather, he's never spoken publicly about it since.
I don't blame him. Who would want to relive that nightmare? So what about the town? What was the reaction in Willow Creek after Doyle disappeared?
It was a mixed bag. Some people refused to believe that their beloved Officer Doyle could be capable of such things. They clung to the idea that he must have been framed or that there was some other explanation.
Denial can be a powerful thing, especially when it comes to shattering your image of someone you trust.
Absolutely. Others were horrified, realizing that the man they'd welcomed into their homes, trusted with their safety, had been hiding a dark side. It really shook the community to its core.
And what about the missing people? Were their families given any answers?
Sadly, no. Without Doyle, and with so much evidence seemingly vanished, the cases went cold. The families were left with unanswered questions, their grief compounded by the mystery surrounding their loved ones' disappearances.
This whole thing is just heartbreaking.
It really is, and the story of Officer Doyle and the Jars of Willow Creek became something of a local legend, a cautionary tale whispered around campfires and late-night gatherings.
It's the kind of story that sticks with you, makes you wonder what darkness might be lurking just beneath the surface of the seemingly ordinary.
Exactly. And as the years went by, the story of Willow Creek started to spread beyond the town itself. Thanks to the internet, it's become this creepypasta, this online legend that's been shared and reinterpreted countless times.
Oh yeah, I've definitely seen it pop up in those online true crime forums. It's one of those stories that people love to debate. Is it real? Is it fake? What really happened?
And that's where we come in. Because as fascinating as the legend is, we wanted to try to separate fact from fiction, go back to the original sources, analyze the evidence, and present you with a clearer picture of what might have happened in Willow Creek all those years ago.
Right, because even though it's become this internet sensation, it's important to remember that this is a story about real people. Real lives were impacted, real families were left with unanswered questions.
Exactly. And as we delve deeper into this mystery, we need to be mindful of that human element. So let's take a closer look at some of the key aspects of this case, starting with Eli Carter's account. It's the foundation of this whole story, But how reliable is it?
Yeah, that's a good point. We've heard his side of things, but what about the other perspectives? I mean, think about it. A rookie cop stumbles onto this terrifying secret, he does the right thing, reports it, and he's basically ostracized.
Right, talk about a lose-lose situation. It makes you wonder if there were other people in Willow Creek who knew about Doyle, who suspected something, but were too afraid to speak up.
Maybe they had their own reasons for keeping quiet. Small towns, everybody knows everybody's business, right? Maybe they were scared of what Doyle might do if they crossed him.
It's possible. And that's what makes this whole thing so unsettling. It's not just about one bad cop. It's about the silence that allows that kind of evil to flourish.
The whole see something, say something idea, right? It's easy to say, but in reality, it can be a lot harder to actually do, especially when you're dealing with someone like Doyle.
Someone who's supposed to be your protector, someone who everyone trusts. So yeah, it's easy to understand why people might have hesitated to come forward.
But still, you'd think someone would have at least checked out that cabin, right? I mean, even if they didn't believe Eli's story, it's still a crime scene.
Well, that's the thing. As far as we can tell, nobody ever went back to the cabin after that night.
Seriously, they just left it there. A creepy cabin in the woods, potentially filled with evidence, and they just ignored it.
It's almost as if they were trying to forget about the whole thing, sweep it under the rug and pretend it never happened.
I guess that's one way to deal with something that's too scary to face. But it doesn't really solve anything, does it?
Nope. If anything, it just adds to the mystery. It leaves us with more questions than answers. What was in those jars? What really happened to Doyle?
Right. We've talked about Eli's account, the town's reaction, but what about the actual evidence? Was there anything concrete to support Eli's story?
Well, that's the frustrating part. With Doyle gone and the cabin seemingly untouched, the physical evidence is pretty much non-existent.
So we're left with a chilling story, a lot of speculation, and a whole bunch of unanswered questions. Classic true crime, right?
Right. But even without all the answers, I think this case still has a lot to teach us. It's a reminder that evil can hide in plain sight, that even the people we trust the most can have secrets.
It's also a reminder that we can't be afraid to speak up when we see something wrong, even if it's hard, even if we're not sure if anyone will believe us.
And sometimes the truth is more disturbing than we could ever imagine.
Well, that's a chilling thought to end on. So, to all our listeners out there, what do you think? Do you believe Eli's story? What do you think happened in Willow Creek?
We'd love to hear your theories. Head over to our website, leave a comment, join the discussion. And as always, if you have any tips or leads on this case or any other unsolved mysteries, please don't hesitate to reach out to us.
Until next time, stay curious, stay safe, and remember, sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. 5ACEI.